Hello, my name is Shamar Keith. I am the pastor of Your Trinity Lexington. We're a local church here, and we're inviting you to come and not only be with us in person, but also to be with us online. We're starting a new series in our Wednesday devotional, and so that series is going to be about the book of Daniel. I'm looking forward to this. I'm going to give you just a brief prequel today, but I think you're going to like where we're going to go. So the book of Daniel is one book, but two genres. The first genre, so chapters 1-6, is the prophetic book. And Daniel is writing about his time in the throne room. He's considered a courtier. The last few chapters, so the second half, chapters 7-12, Daniel is doing some deep, heavy prophetic work. So it's a lot less historical. It's much more future prophetic. It becomes clear that he's a prophet in the first half of the book. So when you're in chapters 1-6, it is really evident what's going on. Daniel is a young man who was taken as exile from his homeland, the mother country of Israel and Judah, and he's taken into Babylon. What I want to spend some time on today is a little bit about his backstory that'll help what happens to him and who he is and what the text does and doesn't say about him make a lot more sense. So let me start here. I'm going to do the prequel, not in the book of Daniel chapter 1, but I want to do the prequel in the book of Isaiah chapter 39. Here's what the book of Isaiah says. At that time, Merodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent envoys with letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that he had been sick and had recovered. And Hezekiah welcomed them gladly, and he showed them his treasure house, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious oil, his whole army, all that was found in his storehouses. There was nothing in his house or in all his realm that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah, the prophet, came to King Hezekiah and said to him, "What did these men say? And from where did they come to you?" Hezekiah said, "They have come to me from a far country, from Babylon." He said, "What have they seen in your house?" Hezekiah answered, "They have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing in my storehouses that I did not show them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and that which your fathers have stored up till this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And some of your own sons who will come from you, whom you will father, shall be taken away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord that you have spoken is good." For he thought, "There will be peace and security in my days." So King Hezekiah was sick. He recovers. The king of Babylon sends an envoy under the guise of, "Hey, I'm glad that you're feeling better. I heard you weren't feeling well. You know, here's a few presents." And King Hezekiah shows the king of Babylon everything. In response to that, Isaiah the prophet has a message for King Hezekiah directly from the Lord. And the message is this: consistent with the fact that you showed them everything that is yours, everything that is in the kingdom, so also everything in the kingdom will be carried away, right? And God is specific. The storehouses, some of your sons. Here's what is most significant about that. He mentions not only that they will be carried away, but he mentions something that is consistent with Babylonian tradition. It is the idea that courtiers who work for the king are eunuch. That means they're testicles are either crushed or removed so that they will be dedicated to the king, they can be focused on the king, and that there will be nothing to distract them. So these men are young when they are eunuchs, and they work for the king for the rest of their life. They have no families, no wives, no children, no job. They don't get distracted by some of the same things that men get distracted by today. This is the backstory of Daniel. Now, I'm just going to do the first few verses, but this is going to make a whole lot more sense given what we've just talked about. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. So this is exactly what Isaiah had prophesied, that the king of Babylon was going to come, not in Isaiah's day. So Isaiah was right. In his day, there would be peace. But after Isaiah's day, when he dies and one of his descendants sits on the throne, in their day, and we now know who that king is, this is King Jehoiakim, in his day, the king of Babylon would come, completely defeat Israel. I should be specific. Not Israel, Judah. So at this point in history, the nation of Israel is split in two. It is called the Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom. There are 12 tribes in Israel. 10 of those tribes are what the Bible calls Israel. 2 of those tribes are what the Bible calls Judah. So Judah is consistent of Benjamin, the tribe, and the tribe of Judah. The tribe of Benjamin and Judah is where the king of Israel rests. This king is the descendant of the great King David. But in Judah also, where Jerusalem is the temple. So even though it is only 2 tribes, they have a descendant of David sitting on the throne. They have the temple of our Lord, or what the Bible calls Solomon's temple. And in many ways, they have the blessing of God. They have prophets. So does Israel, but they have much more blessing. And I think it's because in those days, Judah is still a temple religion. It is a religion that centers around the temple, which is different from Israel. That is a religion that centers around a second temple that was built, but not the temple of our Lord. So I did that for verse 1 and 2. Here's verse 3. Then the king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance, and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace and to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. So here it is. The text seems to indicate that Daniel was not just under the tutelage and control of the chief eunuch, but that he was himself a eunuch. We'll get to the story later, but not just Daniel, other young men of royal lineage, young men who would have understood what it meant to be a courtier. They had royal instincts. It's probably a better way of thinking about it. So Daniel, we'll see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego enter into the picture. So what is the book of Daniel about? So the first half demonstrates that Daniel himself is a prophet, but it is largely a historical text, talking about their time in the palace and the prophetic and theological influence that they had over the king, over King Nebuchadnezzar. But I think it's also relevant in different ways. It talks about how a Jewish believer should behave when he is a stranger in a strange land? I think it begs this question. For each one of us, how should we behave as believers in a non-Christian nation? I know that there are certainly Christian roots to America. I'm not disputing that. But America is not a self-professing Christian nation. America is a nation with Christian roots, largely filled with Christians. So how should we behave? How do you respond to secular pushback, secular controversy? What do you do when you have an unjust ruler in office? You're looking at me, and I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that I'm aiming at a particular party. I think this is much bigger than parties. I think this is a bigger spiritual question. And if you're only focused on one party, I think you are not paying attention anymore. God's man is neither R nor D. God's man is God's man. For Daniel, God's man was Jehoiakim. And then one day, the man he had to answer to was Nebuchadnezzar, who did not have Judaic instincts, who was not familiar with the Torah, who had a different idea of what it meant to be a king and a different idea of what it meant to have a courtier. And Daniel was that courtier. Daniel and his young friends. What I think is most interesting, and I think what you will find most compelling about this book, is that Daniel and his friends were young. They were teenagers. And you could even make the case that they were fully defeated. They were eunuched, right? You were eunuched when the king wanted all the fight to get out of you, but all the wisdom to stay in you. What do you do when you're in a situation where it is not wise to fight, but you still have a God to stand for? That's going to be the story of Daniel. A young Jewish boy who becomes an old Jewish wise man, all under secular kings. Then we get to the second half. After Daniel has suffered a little while, the second half of the book is the most interesting part. I said that it is one book, but two genres. The first genre is the prophetic. The second genre is the apocalyptic. Apocalyptic genres are genres that include books like the Book of Revelation at the end of the New Testament. Those books are designed not to scare or discourage the church or believers, but to encourage believers. It is my greatest desire that after we finish this study of the Book of Daniel, that no matter where you find yourself and no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, you will be encouraged by this study. So catch us every Wednesday. Fresh podcast, fresh conversation. We love your comments in the comment section. Yes, even the snarky ones, keep them coming. We also love your likes and your shares and your attention. So thank you. We'll catch you after the break. And then the cycle begins. Blessings.